Hello, and welcome to Infield Chatter, the podcast for azsnakepit.com. I'm your host today, Soko, and I'm joined by Devin. Charlie could not join us today because I believe he is fighting the lizard people, hashtag lizard truth. So it's just going to be two of us.
You've got to stand up to the lizard people and let them know they can't take this entire planet over.
Yep. There has to be some safe places.
Yes.
Unfortunately, it sounds like that one safe place might be Tucson, which is depressing to think about. So, yeah. In non-depressing news, though, the Diamondbacks actually managed to trade Mark Trumbo, which in the off-season and in spring training, I think there was a lot of general feeling amongst fans that that was something that wasn't possible and, you know, why do we even have this guy anymore? He's terrible, and what are we going to do? Yada, yada, yada. So, I guess, do you have any initial thoughts on it?
At long last, our national nightmare is over.
Yes.
I mean, I'm pretty much a fan of the trade. I don't really know much about the people we got back, except for the fact that, I mean, we at least got a catcher who is not injured, which is good. I feel like the main advantage of the trade is that it's, especially with Jake Lamb coming in off of the disabled list, it frees up space for the team to not worry about Mark Trumbo's defense anymore.
Yeah, that's good. And maybe lets Tomas play in a position that will be more apt to his skill set.
Yeah, not something that he's, got a month of time on before he started playing in the major leagues.
Yeah. He made a good grab last night in the outfield. He, you know, moving to his left and kind of had to reach out and get it. Couldn't really square it up, so that was nice.
Good.
I think the one name from the haul that we got back, if you want to call it a haul, for the Mariners, is Gabriel Guerrero. He's one of the prospects that we picked up, and he's supposed to be a pretty good hitting prospect. Yeah, so that's exciting. He's related to Vladimir Guerrero. And I actually looked up some hitting videos of him. And his batting stance and his swing reminds me a lot of Vlad. So he's supposed to be able to hit another outfielder, but he's pretty young. So I guess we'll see, you know, whether it actually pans out. But the haul, as it were, I mean, it seems like he's the main guy that we could be potentially excited about. And then there's some just sort of roster filler, including a new catcher. But that's a lot better than what people probably thought we were going to get for Trumbo, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, and I don't know if Reinheimer is supposed to be, is Jack Reinheimer, I think, is the guy that we got, and, I mean, he's putting up decent numbers in Double A, at least. I don't know what people feel like his ceiling is, but he's, you know, he's a shortstop, you know, because we don't have enough of them.
Definitely.
We always need more.
Mm-hmm.
He's putting up some decent numbers. He seems like he's got some speed, which is always good.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how it goes. The main advantage of the trade is that we have space to put people out there. And that's kind of what it comes down to, I think. Everything else was kind of...
And the roster got cheaper.
Yeah, the roster got cheaper, which is good. We don't have arbitration for Trumbo next year, which is his last year in arbitration.
Okay. That's still... No, because there definitely was not in another take of this recording.
No.
He wondered... Yeah.
We have never spoken about this before and thought he maybe had 2 years of arbitration left. That would be crazy.
Luckily, it's only one. Not our problem anymore. It seems to have worked out. It certainly could have blown up in their faces, but it seems to have worked out to simply play him and see if he still had value. And it turned out he did. Another team wanted him. We got some stuff. And now we can all move on with our lives. So that's a lot better than I think what a lot of people wanted, which was either to get rid of him just entirely or to never play him. And, well, you're definitely not going to move somebody if nobody thinks they have any value.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it may not have been the best scenario, but I feel like, you know, we got what we needed done there.
I think we have exhausted the Trumbo topic, or more specifically, our ability to care about the Trumbo product.
maybe that's also the advantage that we need to take from the Trumbo trade, is that we no longer have to discuss him anymore.
Yes. Thank God. So, before we transition into maybe some mailbag questions, was there anything from the past week, Diamondbacks related, that you wanted to talk about, Devin?
Nothing in particular. I mean, it was, you know, a little disappointing to lose on Sunday in 17 innings to the Brewers, but I was glad to see the team take, two out of three from the Braves. That's always good.
Yes.
You know, we split the first two games with the Mets, which is also nice. Currently playing as we're recording the third game, but, I mean, yeah, nothing too major. I mean, just like roster stuff. I mean, glad to see that Lamb is going to be back and that, you know, we'll just, I feel like things have been simplified for the Diamondbacks a little bit this week and we can kind of see what they can do now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if there's one sort of holdover question mark, or there's probably one of this, but if we were to simplify it,
only
one holdover may still be, okay, well, what do we do with Hill?
Because yeah, that is true.
He doesn't necessarily fit into any sort of long-term plan. He's definitely getting older. He's expensive. But there may be another team out there who could use a guy like him, especially as we get closer to the trade deadline. So I think if they could figure out a way to move him, then that would pretty much tie it all up in a bow.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of feel like, yeah, because Hill's making $12 million this year. Yeah. I feel like with the way he's been playing, if we're going to trade him, I feel like we're going to have to include something bigger than just another pitcher. But
look, if someone wanted to take him and Addison Reed, it would be a hard choice, but I think we can make a deal.
I think that would, yeah. I feel like pulling off that trade would then get the Diamondbacks somehow dinged on their Better Business Bureau rating just because they managed it. Possibly run by witches.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I mean, we'll see how the Diamondbacks, what they manage for the next few weeks, and if there's going to be more trades up towards the deadline, that'll be interesting to see.
Indeed.
Yep.
I didn't really have a whole lot of other topics, so I'm going to delve into some questions that I received, asking the various social media areas. So there's a couple of actual serious baseball questions to start off with, and then, of course, it devolved into the normal nonsense that you would expect from our social group.
Naturally.
From the Facebook, Richard Hart wants to know, do you think a splintered baseball bat finally... The wording's a bit odd, but do you think a splintered baseball bat finally severely injuring a fan will get MLB to change his tune about wood bats? So, in reference to that Red Sox fan a couple days ago, it was a broken bat, hit her in the head, she seriously injured, still in the hospital, so that's obviously not good.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I mean, I guess the question is which way is he going here. I don't think we're ever going to see them go to, like, aluminum bats or anything. I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
I
didn't ask for clarification because I wanted to give us the opportunity to take it whatever direction we want to.
I think maybe it is. Maybe maybe it's time that that Major League Baseball will step back, realize that this whole using a bat is not the right way to go, and
it's called baseball, not bat ball.
Yeah, I think now they will maybe just remove bats from the game entirely and let players try to redirect the course of the ball solely through the power of their will.
I don't think that would be a great choice.
Really?
No.
Some people just aren't...
Baseball players are fairly renowned for not being incredibly intelligent.
I didn't say that it had to be through, like... I didn't say there was going to be an IQ test. I mean, like...
No, but if you take that sort of classic telekinesis profile, they're always sort of made out to be super geniuses.
Not always. I mean, sometimes they're just stubborn sons of bitches. I mean...
If
they had done this 15 years ago, Randy Johnson could have won the Cy Young and the Silver Slugger Award in the same year.
Yeah.
Because I just think it's not even that he would be trying to, like, alter the course of the ball by force of his will. I just think the baseball would be scared to disappoint him.
Yeah, or the pitcher would be scared to go against him, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, pretty much.
But, yeah, I don't know. It's that sort of classic archetype of they have too much brain activity, so it sort of manifests itself into telekinesis powers.
True.
And that's not something that is particularly a baseball thing. Sorry, guys. I don't know if it will make baseball get that serious. Simply because they could easily just kind of look around and say, well, how many people attend baseball games every year? How long have they been attending games? And so then you have one person who's been seriously injured. The statistics for that is, you know, the probability just means that it's incredibly low.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it definitely doesn't seem like it's a high probability. It still feels like if there's going to be people at risk, it's the players who are more at risk than the fans.
Right. And it doesn't really feel like there's a whole lot of media narrative about this, like shaming MLB or baseball in general for using these types of wood bats, you know, the maple bats that splinter easily. Unfortunately, that's generally what happens. I mean, you look at a recent case in the news, how FIFA is finally being kind of, or potentially could be cleaned up due to a lot of their officials being charged in U.S. courts
for
money laundering, a lot of other sort of fraud issues. But FIFA has been corrupt for a long time, so it's not like it just suddenly happened. It was just... their brazenness with committing fraud had become so overwhelming that finally someone said, well, let's do something about it. Or how, of course, NFL players running into each other and just the violent hits that you would see, of course that's not going to be good for people. But until you start getting that sort of groundswell of media attention and multiple cases and everything else, it was just kind of like, oh, yeah, you know, these are tough guys, and they know what they're getting themselves into. And then it switched where there was enough attention on it to make even the NFL start to try and do things to better their image and everything else. So, unfortunately, my guess, my cynical take, is that it would probably take multiple incidents for MLB to do anything particularly significant.
And, I mean, even then, I feel like they're more likely that it's going to be like, oh, well, let's put up more nets. Because, I mean, yes, this one was from a broken bat, but, I mean, there's still people, you know, people have lost a grip on a bat and it goes flying into the stands.
Right.
I mean, it's a general safety. I mean, you can get injured by foul balls, too.
Mm-hmm.
People have actually died from getting hit with a foul ball in a baseball game.
Yeah, so, yeah, it would probably be less of a, well, we'll change the bats and maybe be more of a, we'll just put up more netting.
Yeah, I think that's much more. And, I mean, also, again, from that cynical point of view, that's going to be the option that's cheaper and easier to enforce.
Yeah, and, I mean, frankly, it's kind of the obvious option because the nets don't really impede people's ability to watch a game, so I would imagine people would get used to it. But
seems likely.
But if they did move to aluminum bats, that would be hilarious because, man, if you think baseball writers are still mad about steroids, wait.
Oh, man. Then.
I actually kind of hope for that option now because that would be fantastic.
Just how upset they are. You know what? I take it back. I am on board with aluminum bats because I see no fewer than three professional sports reporters like literally spontaneously combusting from their own rage.
I can already see the op-ed complaining about missing the crack of the bat.
It's not the ping of the bat.
Yeah. And then awkwardly comparing that to, like, computer pings and...
Real ball players didn't hear a ping from the bat. They heard a ping from their sonar when they were hunting Nazis. I don't
know. Could be.
Yeah, yeah.
So, get on that MLB. I think
that's please.
Another question from Facebook is from Ann Jessup. Why is the Tampa Bay Rays baseball stadium lopsided?
Because they were actually, I know this one. They were really drunk when they were building the second half of it.
There you go. I mean, well, you know, they live in St. Petersburg, so
yeah.
Can you blame them?
No, I really can't. I mean, I feel like because I mean there are other fields and that are also lopsided.
Yeah, I think what she specific because I again didn't ask for context because it's more fun for us to speculate.
Mm-hmm.
I went and looked up some photos of it just because I was thinking to myself, I don't really remember it being lopsided. What does that mean? And then I looked at some exterior photos and remembered and realized what she might be talking about is the roof line is not. It's not like a traditional dome where everything's even. Instead, like, one side is higher than the other.
Oh.
So I think it probably corresponds with the higher end is where there's more of, like, the traditional triple-deck seating, and then the lower end is probably just going towards the outfield.
Yeah, outfield's where they just got the bleachers there.
Yeah, exactly. And they probably did that because it was, frankly, cheaper. Because if I recall my Tropicana Field history, which everybody should...
Well, who doesn't?
It was built on spec, which basically means that St. Petersburg built it with the hope that somebody would want to move into it. And there was, you know, Tampa Bay had been a long time been that sort of, it was like how L.A. now for NFL teams, that was Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Where even both the Giants and the White Sox at different times in the late 80s, early 90s had very solid plans for going to Tampa Bay. And then they got the stadiums and it went away, but...
The Tropicana Field was originally built to get the White Sox to move down there.
Right. So. And then they didn't, so then it was just like, well, anybody, we got one. It's lopsided. Probably because they built it on the cheap. Because I want to say they built it for like $12 million. Let me see if I can look that up real quick. Because we are definitely...
Oh, no. No, it was $130 million.
Oh, that's still...
That's still... Cheap. I mean, that's still relatively cheap.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. Yeah, because if I recall Chase Field, which was built only a few years later... $550 million? Now, we have a retractable roof, so that's obviously going to be more expensive. But it's just construction prices over the 90s did balloon. But, I mean, that's still pretty freaking cheap.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, I mean, that would make sense that it that they just decided, well, there's no reason to have the roof out like that.
Yeah.
Oh, also, interesting. It was designed, I'm looking this up on Wikipedia, it was designed at an angle to reduce the interior volume in order to reduce cooling costs. And to better protect the stadium from hurricanes.
Fun fact.
Interesting.
That makes sense. I mean, the cooling cost part especially.
Yeah.
Instead of Chase Field, which is, you know, towards the outfield, it's just a big box, so there's a lot of extra volume that they then have to cool.
I wonder how many air conditioners, or like what the volume of air conditioners usage for Chase Field is.
I'm sure there's got to be some info out there.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. But some rushed Googling doesn't give me anything interesting, so.
It only costs $2 in electricity to open or close the roof.
Well, that's useful to know in case I ever need to bribe somebody.
Yeah.
Like, here, I'll cover this.
8,000-ton cooling system, which is comparable to 2,500 typical Arizona homes.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's pretty powerful.
That is.
And yet, sometimes it still feels a little warm in there.
It does. I mean, it gets a little...
A little toasty.
Yeah.
Work on that, Diamondbacks. I don't know. It's not so fan-friendly to be slightly warm.
Oh, no, 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 no. It's that you need a fan.
Oh. Ha-ha. Ooh. Let's see now. Any of these other questions appropriate? Because none of these are baseball-related.
Well, I don't know if that really should stop us.
Phil hates This American Life. How? I don't know. I've never listened to This American Life, so I don't have any context.
Well, I think the fact is that, I mean, the problem is that Phil just has questionable taste in things sometimes. I mean, he lives in Tucson.
Yeah. And, well, Phil is a noted grouch about certain things, so it's
that's not true.
Necessarily surprising.
Yeah, but I think that's true.
I don't really, again, because I've never listened to the program, I don't really know what it does beyond, I think they basically interview people doing different stuff. Like, just random slice of life sort of interest stories, right?
I mean, yeah, I mean a lot of them. It just kind of covers, I mean, they have essays and sometimes they have short fiction and stuff. And
so, depending on what you're listening to NPR for, I could understand why that would be kind of dull, because human interest stories are really only interesting for so long.
Kind of seems like he's making a poor choice there. I think he does need to apologize to Ira Glass. He doesn't deserve that kind of disdain. Come on, Phil.
Yeah, especially because he followed it up by saying Glass is pretentious and self-important. So it doesn't sound like it's the human interest stories that he objects to.
Okay, well, first off, I want to point out, we're talking about NPR.
Right.
I mean, there's got to be a standard, like a minimum standard of pretentiousness and self-importance to work there, especially to have reached the point where you're the host of a fairly notable program there.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like
it's not like you're podcasting for the local Arizona Diamondbacks SB Nation site.
Yeah, no, we would never be pretentious or self-important at all. I feel like it's kind of like complaining about Bill O'Reilly being loud and bombastic. I mean, that's it's kind of inherent in the position that he holds.
You could call it the house brand, if you will. Where that's kind of Fox's news thing is it's a lot of people that are kind of maybe slightly unhinged or just generally, you know, kind of loud and opinionated, because otherwise how could they get that job if they didn't have opinions? But the same way NPR kind of has a house brand of self-important sort of, you know, this is super interesting that I found it. I want to share it with you. You're going to find it super interesting, too.
We've got, you know, some free-range stories that we'd like to discuss here.
These stories were not raised in a cage. They're happy stories.
These stories are all organic, too.
Yes, all organic.
Yeah.
Fresh out of the Iowa Fiction Workshop. I don't think any of these other questions really work very well as discussion points. Because we barely got anything out of the This American Life one.
Yeah. Also, I'd just like to comment on Phil's inability to apparently recognize that Liz is referring to the person in the comment above her. Unless he's confused about who Mark Grace is. In which case, there's more problems.
Yeah. I feel like that's a piece of information he should know. I feel like that my daughter's name is fairly well established amongst our social group, but...
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah. But, you know, it's...
I don't know, Phil, if you've listened this far.
Why?
Yeah, why, first of all. But, you know, respond in the comments that you now know who that person is.
Yes.
Okay, all right. Well, Diamondbacks are currently down one run to the Mets, top of the seventh.
Delgado on the mound. Wind up and the pitch. Oh.
It's just a bit outside.
A little high. High and outside there. All right, 1-2 counts. Paul Goldschmidt taking off his hat for a moment, putting it back on.
He looks a little bored.
He may be listening to this right now.
He must be a millennial watching baseball.
I did see the dumbest thing where somebody was complaining about calling baseball more boring than golf, and I'm like, no, I don't see that.
No. Mm-mm.
Like, golf is one of those sports that I feel like I could see the appeal of playing it, but I don't understand the appeal of watching it.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I get the appeal of playing it either.
I mean, like, it's not for me, but at least I can kind of understand it.
Yeah. I just feel like if I'm going to do some day drinking, I don't want to add exercise to it.
No, I mean, I think that's probably fair. It's, what is the saying? It's golf is a way to ruin a perfectly good walk, something like that.
I feel like that's a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Did he go from 0 to 2 to walking him?
I believe he did.
Wow, way to go, Delgado.
I believe he did, Bob. I guess the positive thing to think about is we are already losing.
Well, that is true. That is true.
So it can only just be more losing from here. They're having, I think it's today, because I thought I saw someone say it in the game day thread that tonight is Bark at the Park.
Oh, is it?
Which, for those of you who don't know, is basically you can bring your dog with you to the ball game. Which, to me, sounds like probably the worst experience possible. Even worse than going to a children's birthday party and having three-year-olds run around screaming for 2 hours.
I was going to say, which do you think would be worse? Taking a dog to the park, or going to Bark in the Park Day, or going to one of those afternoon games in the summer where there's like 25 like summer camps who have sent 20 kids with like one chaperone each.
Yeah, that probably would be worse.
But yeah, no, I've always wondered about Bark in the Park, and just wondered, among other things, about how much more cleanup it necessitates for the stadium crew.
Yeah, I mean, you're having at least a few hundred, if not a few thousand dogs sitting around for 3 hours. I assume at least some of them, you know, even if it's only 10%, that's still a lot of dog crap.
Yeah.
Or piss. And that's kind of gross.
Yeah. I was gonna say, at least in spring training games you can like send the dog out to the lawn, but no, that's just as terrible.
that's a bad idea. I'm just waiting for them to have a cat at bat promotion.
Cat at bat promotion. Yeah. That would be great, because I feel like that would end up with, for the entire rest of the season, feral cats roaming the stadium because they escaped from their owners and could not be reclaimed.
And now they're just living off like hot dogs and foods that they find.
You know, where I really want this to happen is do it at
AT&T Park.
AT&T Park. So at the end of every game, you've got a fight between the cats and the seagulls.
That would be great.
Yeah.
I think it was Shea Stadium. They had a mice problem when it first opened, so they introduced a couple cats, and then they had a cat problem. It seems to be a fairly common response, like, for things in the mid-century America, because I think Disneyland has the same problem. You know, they opened Disneyland and then they had a rat problem, so then they introduced cats and now they have a cat problem. And you can still sometimes see feral cats just hanging out.
One of the things that I always, like, I'm always amused by is, like, every college campus I've been on, there are always feral cats who live there, and do not believe that anyone else has a right to be there.
No, they do not. That's a standard cat position.
Yeah, yeah. Also, is this Chip Hale's first ejection this season?
Let's send it down to our research department.
Send it down to the research department.
Hey, research department here. And, yeah, it was. See ya.
Yeah. Three-year-old birthday parties are the worst.
Three-year-old birthday parties are pretty terrible.
Especially when you do not fit in with parents, because every single one of the other parents are, like, ridiculously rich and have discussions like, so we were thinking about putting in blah, blah, blah in full-time, and then the nanny would pick up, and then I would come home after, like, yoga, and but I don't know, because that would mean, like, he wouldn't be awake, so I wouldn't really see him except for maybe if I was awake in the mornings, but usually the nanny is the one who gets him up.
How do people do that?
I don't
like,
especially because these are the ladies, excuse, I was going to use bad phrase, but these are the women who usually don't have jobs at all. Or who have jobs such as dog trainer or personal trainer. And
personal dog.
Like, yeah. I don't understand it. And then this one woman was like, who had three kids, talking about how she's having her fourth kid. And I was like, yeah, that makes sense. We had two. I probably would have wanted more, but I really want to be able to take our kids on traveling and do fun things and stuff like that. And she's like, yeah, that's why we're stopping with four. I was like, do you know how much money four kids costs? That's like two lines in a freaking airline.
Well, but I mean, with them, it's probably them, four kids, and a nanny.
Right.
Which makes it even worse.
Yep.
Also, when we were at Disneyland a couple weeks ago, Morgan and I were like, okay, see, we have to come back in a few years with Liz and Tim because I just think Henry needs to go through the Jedi Academy thing.
Yeah.
Like, it would just be adorable.
It would definitely be adorable, but at least right now, and if he maintains his general interest, he would just be flipping his shit over Mickey. He loves Mickey a lot.
Yeah, we'd have to go to Toontown and, like, spend at least an hour there, which really isn't that big of a deal. I like Toontown.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
he would just be like, this is Mickey's house. This is Mickey's house.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
I mean, you know how much we love Disneyland, but
yeah.
There is definitely the side of me that thinks to myself, oh God, the thought of taking children who have no boundaries or concept of value or anything.
Hey, welcome new guy.
Yeah. Good job, Wellington Castillo.
Wellington Castillo. You know what? This trade was obviously worth it.
We've already won it because he just hit a 2-run homer, which you would already know about because this podcast is going up on Sunday and recording on a Saturday. So, but yeah, I mean, you know, taking children to Disneyland doesn't sound super fun just because everything they're going to want. All of the things.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Mom has promised to take us to Disneyland, and she will take the kids.
That's true.
And we can be the adult children.
Yes.
That we are.
That's true. Luckily, my mom has stepped up to the plate and offered to be a part of this as well, so she can kind of corral them and, you know, be the grandma and buy lots of useless stuff when we can be the mean parents that say, no, we're not buying a third Mickey plush.
Tim, I'm the one telling you that we're not buying the third Mickey plush. Plushes because of you.
We only have, I think, 4 or 5 Mickey plushes, Liz.
Because I've usually said no.
I'm just saying, there are other Mickey plushes we could get.
And the last time I went, only reason I think we bought any of this stuff was because of hormones throwing through my body that I wasn't aware of. I bought a Sally Ball.
Maybe that was your reason. Well, any final thoughts? I suppose we could look ahead for the upcoming week and see what the schedule is, and I definitely know it off the top of my head. I'm not frantically trying to go to the website.
We've got the freaking Dodgers coming up and then the Giants.
Boo.
We're back into kind of the West Coast thing.
The House of Pain.
The House of Blah. These freaking teams again.
Yeah, and we'll be going to L.A. and to San Francisco.
Yeah.
Then we're going to be doing one of those sort of – this isn't next week, so I'm kind of jumping ahead a bit, but I see it, so I feel like saying it. And, you know, that's just the way it is. But we're doing one of those weird back-to-back series. We're going to play 2 games in Anaheim, then come back home and play 2 games against Anaheim.
Those are always the strangest thing. I don't understand. I don't understand why they schedule things like that.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But that should be...
I just got a text message from your mom, man.
What does your mom say?
Jake Lamb is my new D-backs crush.
That's sweet. So, sorry, Devin's mom, that we just aired that on the podcast.
Meh.
But yeah, so Dodgers, Giants are both ahead of us in standings. Dodgers obviously are, like, better than God at playing baseball. Because
right now they're both tied for first, so.
So, that's going to be super fun.
Oh, yeah.
It sounds like at least in the last week or so, the Dodgers haven't been doing super great just because the few Dodgers fans that I follow on the Twitter have not sounded like they've been super enthused about the results. So maybe we have a chance to win in one game next week. Maybe.
We might get crazy and win one game against each of them.
Whoa.
Yeah. It's a new era.
Okay.
I don't know.
Things are going to get a little weird, but 2 dragons.
2 dragons?
2.
2. All right, let's do it. Yeah.
Well, I think we could do that. So that's pretty much it. I assume at this point Charlie's going to want to do his own outro, but I guess we could do one just in case. So I guess I will pause for a little bit and then do an outro.
I was going to say at this point Charlie may be just angry with us in general.
he may just publish it as it is.
Yeah, I did that. Come at me, bros. What?
Let me tell you about these jerks.
Well, fine. Be that way, Chaz. Still. So thank you for listening to Infield Chatter. Follow us on the Twitter and Facebook and every other social media that you can think of. Snapchat. Ashley Madison,
Hello.
Yelp. What's the find a farmer? Farmers
Farmersonly.com.
Farmersonly.com. Comment in the article that this comes with and share it with all of your friends and print it out and give it to people.
Take this podcast, transcribe it, and then reenact it on a street corner with a friend.
Yes.
Not even necessarily a friend. Take two scripts, one for my part, one for Tim's, stop somebody at random, hand it out, make a friend.
Yep.
It's social media, people.
It's the socialist of all the media.
Yes. Socialism media.
Yep. And then also quit your job to preach on the street about the podcast. Yeah. These are all things you could do. So thank you, and I guess we'll I don't know. We won't talk to you later because it's a podcast.
But you will listen to our decrees.
You will listen to us later.
I'm Silco. I'm Kishi. Blah, blah, we like to talk a lot. Blah, blah, blah. Something about Battlestar Galactica. I'm gonna make fun of Tucson because I have no self-esteem about where I live. One of those places happens to be Scottsdale. And we just spent 10 minutes talking about rich Scottsdale people, so I should probably shut up. Where, where, where?
Oh, I got a Facebook notification. Maybe there's more questions.
Is it a question?
No, it's not. It's not at all.